when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 8 of Prepping 2.0. Today, we're going to talk about events that could kick off SHTF and 10 signs that SHTF is about to happen. So this, you can see why we combine these two things. Shelby, I believe it's time for our top 100 list of things that disappear fast. We've been reading these off each episode. Number 2 is up on this episode. Why don't you talk about number 2 on this list?
Number 2 is the next one up. So that means we have 98 more episodes to go before we need to find another list. Yes. So number 2 on the list is water filters and purifiers. Those will be the next thing, the next most common thing that we will not be able to find when there's a true collapse situation. And just to remind our listeners, you can go to our website at prepping2-0, and you can see that list, a link to the list at the bottom of the page. Why I think this one is particularly important is when water is very important for sustaining of life. But water purification has come such a long way just in the last 10, 15, 20 years. And we were talking about this when we were preparing for the show. I come from back when I was young and energetic,
You're very energetic,
I
Shelby.
I am still very energetic, but I need caffeine to do it. But when you read my books and you read about my main character, Julie, and people backpacking through the Rocky Mountains, I did that. I did that as when I was younger. And I come from the point of view where I need to be able to drink water out of a stream.
A yucky, green, disgusting stream.
And not always, but yes, many times, but not always, but a lot of times, at least in the Rocky Mountains, Giardia, which is a bad for your gut little microorganism in you, will make for a very bad following week. And when I talk about in book one, if you have any sort of compromised immune system, you're in trouble if you get that in you. And so I come from the point of view where my only option for water fabrication was potable water tablets. These little tablets you drop into a quart of water, and they taste nasty.
Nasty.
Gross. And so that's why you take Kool-Aid with you. So you're always drinking Kool-Aid, which is okay because you're always, you know, you're working hard and you're burning off those carbs. But that was the only option a gazillion years ago.
And what's changed, Shelby?
So much. Water purification has changed even since this list was made. They list on this list, you'll see the Sawyer mini water filter, which is great. There's also the Berkey water filters. Those used to be super duper expensive. They're still not cheap, but when you're talking about your life or no life or water and no water, it's worth it. And also, you and I really have enjoyed, and recently, I remember when I first met you, we talked about life straws, and life straws are these little filters. They're a straw that's a filter. They were about $20 a couple years ago. And so it's like, God, $20 for a straw.
They're more than like a straw, like at McDonald's, or
like a big
dowel piece or
right.
something.
Right. And so, and what really drew me to life straws then was there's a person, the advertisement showed somebody drinking out of a river. Mm-hmm. I can relate to that. Well, backpacking. And so it filters some of those, well, a lot of, you need to look at the list, I don't know what it is, of really bad things in natural water. So those we just experienced over Black Friday recently, major discounted life straws and major discounted life straws that you can put on water bottles so you can filter water out of a Nalgene bottle, out of a hydro flask, out of you know, whatever bottle, which is cool. So it's a great example of Prepping 2.0 where the technology has changed in advance, making it super easy for you to get filtered water. And this isn't just for when things go really south, like no water, no electricity or whatever. What happens if your local municipality does a water boil? Or, you know,
the order.
Order. And I've experienced that in Oregon many times. It depends on where you're at. Flint, Michigan certainly probably would have liked some life straws or some Berkey filters. So they're important. They're really, really important to have on hand for whether it be just a temporary water order or when things go really bad.
And the price has come way down. There's even a thing now for about $200, and you plug it into any DC power source, and it turns water and salt into bleach, and then it's got a little thing, and it says put this many drops in, and you can treat stuff that way. That's super long term. So there you go. That is item number two on the top 100 things that disappear first. We always like to start off the show with that. It's a nice little nugget of prepping knowledge.
And we have 98 more to go.
We have 98 more nuggets. That's right. Yes. Well, why don't you describe the common denominator in all the stuff we're going to talk about today, the events that lead to SHTF and the signs of them. What is the common denominator in all that stuff?
I think the main common denominator, all that, and you'll hear us talk about this a lot, is the interruption to a person or a family unit's basic needs. You can watch things on the news and you can get kind of upset about those, but when you have in your family interruption of basic needs, when I say interruption, I mean like you can't get water and you can't find it anywhere, you can't get it anywhere, and it's gone, and there's a freak out that happens with that. When there's an interruption and you see no end in sight, and there's a panic that happens with that. That's the common denominator of everything we're going to talk about today. So it seems sometimes kind of silly, some of these things, but it's because it relates back to this one thing.
That's right. And so here are some things that we think are events that could kick off SHTF. We're going to discuss them briefly. It's more of a listing, but you know, a little bit of substance on them. And there are probably more events that could kick off SHTF. And this is why we love it when folks put comments. Yeah. They leave comments either on our Facebook page where we'll be posting this episode, or on the Podbean.
They email us.
Yeah. So we think this is an open discussion is our point. And here's some things that we see coming. The first would be OPV. What the heck is OPV? Oh, not another acronym, but it's a good one. Organized political violence / civil war. And that's that continuum we've talked about. We've alluded to. We're going to talk about in far more detail later that continuum between organized political violence, people coming to Tucker Carlson's house and pounding on the door, being at the very low end of the spectrum, to massive nationwide organized assassinations or something, which we hope don't happen, by the way. Never imply that we want
any of this stuff
to happen.
Especially violence, no.
Exactly. And so that would be something that would obviously interrupt people's basic needs. It would probably start off slow, and it would escalate, and then you can't drive down the road because you don't know if Antifa is going to pull the guy out in the car ahead of you and cap him or her because they're, I don't know, a Republican city council member,
right?
Something like that. So then you don't drive, you don't go out of your house. The truck drivers, this is again the common denominator, the interruption of basic needs. What is another potential SHTF event?
Well, and I brought this out of my books a little bit, especially book one, EBT riots. EBT meaning, and it's probably got
electronic benefits transfer. It's basically the welfare credit card that welfare recipients get. It's a debit card. They got all their money loaded on it once a month, and they go to Walmart and buy a bunch of Doritos and, you know,
I'm glad
Dr.
you know
Pepper.
That. I just know it is what it's government's
Welfare.
It is. It's and so when that gets interrupted, and again, I bring this out in my books, I don't think it's going to be immediate where it's like your cards are void and invalid. It's not going to be that. It's going to be chipped away at. It's going to be like, oh, your benefits this month are going to be cut by 5%, 10%, and it's going to get chipped away, and then there's going to be a tipping point, and with that, we're going to have riots, and it's understandably so in the sense of, that represents food to the family. That represents food and water to those that you care for. And when you start making it to a point where you can't sustain that, there's going to be a freak out and there's going to be a reaction.
A reaction. By the way, there could be the scenario you described, which is the slow chipping away, which will happen.
I think
as financial collapse nears. We'll be talking about that in a moment. The other way this could kick off is some intentional or unintentional hacking or computer thing where all the EBT cards don't work. We've seen glimpses of this in some states in about 5 years ago. I remember Louisiana went down for 2 days and Michigan went down for a day. It were a couple of states all at the same time, which I thought was kind of a weird coincidence because these are run on a state-by-state basis. I think it was some nasty person who doesn't
And if you think about 5 years ago, who was like daily hacking at American infrastructure, specifically banking infrastructure? Who was doing that? North Korea.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know who it was. It could have been, you know, we don't
right.
know.
I shouldn't get into that speculation. I know, but we do... I'm not saying
we
that
do
they
know
did
it was sophisticated hacking by somebody. There, let me correct myself. There was sophisticated hacking by countries that don't like us. Maybe the EBT outages in three or four states on the same day were a product of that.
Right.
So there's a million ways, not a million, there's two ways that EBT systems could
yes.
be disrupted
yes.
and that could lead to an SHTF.
And here's the thing is you know, Louisiana citizen, person, whatever. I don't care who the hackers. I don't care what's happening out there. I know right here and now I've got kids who are crying because they haven't had a meal in a day and the wife is cranky and or whatever. That's the immediate crisis for this person. All those details out there, eh.
I would take it one step further.
Yeah.
You're right. The person who can't go to Walmart and get Doritos and Dr. Pepper. By the way, I love both those things.
I really do.
They're
like
delicious.
I'm going to collapse.
But
so that might make me cranky.
Yeah, I don't subsist on them. Okay, I feel sorry for that family. You know who I really feel sorry for is everyone else in town because at that Walmart, there's going to be crankiness. There's going to be throwing chairs. There's going to be screaming. There might be gunshots fired. Now, everyone in that Walmart empties out. No one's getting the other stuff they want at the stores. The police, the four or five police officers in that town,
they have to sort all that out.
Come rolling in and they can't handle it. And then you've got a huge problem mm-hmm. brewing, you know, at Walmart. And then people start stealing stuff and they start burning stuff. Look at the old videos of the LA riots and you'll see what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. It's not just that somebody on welfare had a bad day, and I'm not you meant it bigger than that. I'm not saying you're limiting it, but I just want to emphasize the point that it's the reaction on everybody
right.
else, and it starts to look like SHTF when one of the biggest intersections in your town is completely shut down because people are looting the local Walmart because the cards didn't work for 2 days.
Right. And let me add this too, and we're going to sprinkle this throughout. If you follow me on social media, you see I use the hashtag all the time, hashtag, this is what a collapse looks like.
I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
I am too, because people are like, what? There's looting after a natural disaster, I don't know, a fire in California, and I'll put the hashtag, this is what a collapse looks like, and people correct me, that's not a collapse. I'm like, no, but this is what it looks like. When you see this sort of human behavior, or you see this, you know, people react a certain way. If you see Black Friday shoppers, 50 of them fighting over a TV, and you see this completely, you know, outrageous behavior, that's what it looks like. I'm not saying it is one, but what I'm trying to do, and I think people are catching on to it, so please feel free to use the hashtag. I'm trying to get our tune all in tune as to what people will act like and how things will be during a collapse.
Classic example was, I remember you put up a post about Flint, Michigan
yeah.
having no water. You said, this is what a collapse looks like. And quite a few people didn't understand what you were saying. And they said things like, what do you mean? The United States is grinding to a halt because there's no drinking water in Flint, Michigan? No,
no.
We're not saying a national collapse situation that affects everybody. You're saying, as you just put it, it's what it looks like. When
right.
people don't have water, that's what it will be like in a collapse.
This is how they will act. So in the whole string of trying to prepare, if I know, like let's say right now in our community, water goes away, I know in 2 days that's about, looking back on Flint, Michigan, I know how people will react. And I can prepare for that.
Exactly.
I can also get my water filters.
Exactly. Another event that could lead to SHTF is a financial collapse. And by that we mean the dollar suddenly devalued, the currency loses its value, bank holiday, very classic thing. Mm-hmm. We started to get really close to this in 2008. Could see it again in, I don't know, about 2020 if I had to guess. And those sorts of things where the money system, buying and selling things, doesn't work anymore. And we're going to talk about that after the break. In one of the 10 signs involves you can't get your money out. And we don't mean like a financial collapse, like over a period of a year, a lot of people you know lose their jobs. We're talking about a more sudden thing, that kind of financial collapse.
You suddenly can't use your debit card.
Exactly. And that would lead to people flipping out. It would lead to, oh, I can't spend my money at Walmart. I would really like some Doritos and Dr. Pepper. I'm going to go punch somebody in the face and grab them. And then you've got the lockdown at that intersection and all of that. And then it just keeps going.
Well, it really is a cousin to the EBT riots. It's the whole, whether you use an EBT card or you have your own money and use a debit card, if you can't get to your funds, you're going to flip out.
Yes, because nobody has cash on hand anymore. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a moment. What's another event that could lead to SHTF?
Well, I'm looking at my list here. EMP solar flare.
Yes.
Yes. EMP being electromagnetic
pulse.
And it's that implies, I believe, and I'm going to just say it right now.
We're not going to get into the details of physics here.
Basically, something's happened. There's been some sort of something directed at us in the United States, making it so that our electrical grid goes down because a pulse has hit it. And that's the whole, that gets really weird. There's some great dystopian writing out there and collapse fiction out there that you can learn about. That's where you're like driving in your car and your car stops, your phone stops, everything, and you are literally on a road with no electronics.
Exactly. One of the best books, prepper books, yes, ever written, One Second After, William Fortune, is about an EMP. And one of the things that's horrible about that, it's not just disruption of electricity where you are, theoretically. Oh, by the way, this has never been tested. Obviously, you can't like pop a nuclear warhead off over the United States and see how many things you take out, because anyone that does that will be obliterated. It's a one-time test.
and so, reality. It's not a test. It's reality.
So there's some question about whether it's really as bad as all that. We're going to do at least one show, maybe a couple, on EMPs, and we're going to have guests on who can really talk about the details, because the details matter in this. How many megavolts gigavolts and all these other things is a big deal, and we don't have the expertise.
We don't, but we've read, right? The cousin to that, it's not even a cousin. EMP suggests purposefully done by some sort of impetus. The other one is solar flare.
Yeah.
There's
the Carrington effect, 1850 something, I want to say four.
Yeah.
And it was a huge solar flare, and this is back when the U.S. only had things like telegraph lines, right? And the telegraph lines were catching on fire. They absorbed so much of the electromagnetic energy from a solar flare, and the sun goes in patterns, multi-year, multi-century patterns. Maybe we're up for one of those. It could be, in some ways, as bad as an EMP. The kind of energy it puts out is different and not as concentrated, so it may not fry everything over the United States, but still, it's a big
problem. It's going to knock down a lot of things. It's certainly going to take out
electricity.
And just imagine that for a day or a week or longer. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. One of the other things I think of, and it kind of relates to financial collapse, would be hacking.
Yeah.
And that's something that we talked about, the EBT cards for one reason or another being interrupted, the financial system being interrupted. It could be sort of, I don't know, natural or accidental, which I don't think it would be, or hacking. We all know about this. Several countries constantly trying to hack our financial system. What if, you know, you go and you log on to that phone app that tells you how much money you have in your account and it says $0 and 0 cents? Or the hacking means you can't get your money out, or the hacking is a denial of service attack on all the financial institutions, and so your banks can't do the probably billions of transactions a day where they, you know, you get that latte for $4 and put it on your debit card, that $4 transaction can't get through the system. Mm-hmm. So that's another really, really big problem. I think related to that would be terrorism.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that kind of hacking is terrorism, but the other event that could kick off SHTF would be, I don't know, a dirty bomb in New York City.
Yeah.
And That seems kind of regional, but it wouldn't be, because the freak out effect would be huge. By
look at 9/11. Freaking out here on the West Coast, and we weren't there.
Exactly. And the authorities were freaking out, I think appropriately so. And so terrorism could be that. It could be a bio attack. It could be a variety of things. It could be very low tech. It could be ISIS or people like that, or Antifa. By the way, terrorists aren't just from the Middle East. Nope. Obviously, terrorism comes in a lot of ethnic and racial variants. It could be neo-Nazis for all we know. It could, anyway, just going on rampages every major city in America, you know, synchronized to be the same time, and just going and starting to shoot people. And look at the reactions. The police have so much to do in one of these situations, they can't really do much else. I was listening to a YouTube guy, The Prepared Mind, John, mm-hmm. The Prepared Mind. Mm-hmm. It's a great YouTube channel. He was talking about one angry lady at the DMV, and there were 7 police officers that responded. Now, they don't know if she's going to start shooting people, so I'm not criticizing the police. My point is, one angry person, no shots fired, equals 7 police officers. And in this case, it was a rural area, so there was pretty much no police. So you can see that terrorism could, even mild stuff as far as a body count goes, could really interrupt basic needs. Back to your common denominator.
Yeah. Well, let me add to the terrorism thing. I know for myself, we were talking about this as we were preparing for this. 3-4 years ago, if we could categorize it like severity, that was at the top of my list, because ISIS was weekly, it seemed like, especially in Europe. It's very simple. They were not throwing off nukes or anything like that. They could very simply, by taking a vehicle and plowing it through crowds, terrorize cities. And they were doing it in Europe. And I'm like, we have a president right now that is opening our border and letting these people, and this is going to be happening soon.
And daily and frequently.
And what terrorized me, and to use the word, concerned me, is how they could very simple things. They're not bringing out the AKs or whatever. With simple, everyday things, they could really, really have a huge body count, kill a lot of people, terrorize entire city, freak everybody out, disable law enforcement, because what they would do would overpower law enforcement. Just that's a big one to me. And I think that's more localized, certainly, because they're not sophisticated enough to do something. They can't drive a van through the entire United States. But what they can do is what you just said. They time them. And we saw that with 9/11. All right, at this time, 100 of you are going to drive a van through these cities. That's what a collapse looks like.
Exactly.
Seriously. And they can do it. They can do it very simply. They don't need a $1 million budget of weaponry to do that.
They need 100 people who want to die and go to what they believe is heaven.
Yep. And rent a bunch of vehicles.
Car keys and maybe renting vans.
Yeah.
It's very simple. We've got a few more minutes on this segment. Talk to us about pandemic.
Pandemics are, when I think of pandemic, it's a disease infection, something that it hits a community and can be deadly. Ebola is the one that we see a lot of these days. But it can also be an illness that comes out of water. It can be an illness that is regional because of the weather situation. And basically it's sickness, it's illness.
Right, and on an uncontrollable scale, there are a lot of novels about pandemics, and the novels, I think, for literary and dramatic effect, often involve 99% death rates, and that could happen, but it doesn't have to be that way. A very nasty version of the flu could do the trick. The Spanish flu, which was awful and killed millions of people, didn't have anywhere near a 100% mortality rate. And so it doesn't have to be like, my point is, it doesn't have to be like pandemic in the movies or in books to be a problem, because what, again, is a common denominator? Disruption. Mm-hmm. If 25% of the people where you work, listener, can't make it to work, they're not dying. They're just really, really sick. Stuff starts to not get done. And if you work at a water treatment plant and 25% of the people aren't there, then all of a sudden the water isn't getting treated and truck drivers aren't driving. It comes back to the disruption. One of the other common denominators in all of these events that could kick off SHTF is the actual event is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned people driving vans around and running people over, which is a bad thing, but it's the reaction thereto that is the problem. Well, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about natural disaster.
Yes.
Obviously, we all know about those. We know what they look like. That's sort of the easiest one of
yeah.
these events. But a natural disaster on a regional or national basis could kick off SHTF. I guess a solar flare, in a sense, mm-hmm. is a natural disaster. But we've heard them all. There could be volcano eruptions and that blanket country in ash. I had a little experience with that. I lived in Washington State in 1980 when Mount St. Helens erupted. Don't really remember much about it because I was a kid and I didn't really understand, you know, just-in-time inventory at age 10 or whatever I was. By the way, I probably did understand it. I just didn't write a book about it.
But
no, I'm
don't
kidding.
Don't do the math because you just figured out how old he is.
Yeah, but I actually intentionally threw people off with that.
Okay,
with
good.
Yeah, no, that's what I do. Natural disasters, we've seen hurricanes, we've seen windstorms. There could be, I'll tell you something, you know, on the West Coast here, earthquake / tsunami, that is a huge problem. A 9.0 earthquake in the Seattle area will kill millions of people. And everybody, that's interesting too, everybody listening in their own region has their own variation of natural disasters. God was pretty good at evenly distributing natural disasters.
Yes.
If you're listening in Oklahoma, then you probably have tornadoes
often,
to deal with.
Every
often.
Year, every summer.
Exactly. If you're on the East Coast, especially the Southeast, you've got hurricanes mm-hmm. to deal with.
And you can be pretty far up the East Coast. You can be some of those.
Well, Sandy was up in New York City.
Yeah. So you're not exempt just because you're in New York. Yeah.
Exactly. Another natural disaster that we've seen a lot of, at least.
Fires.
Exactly. Wildfires, predominantly on the West Coast. But,
well,
yes.
And I think to add to the fires, here's the thing we know about fires. You and I have very strong opinions about this. There's fires, and then to add to that, honestly, left political policies that allow them to happen
yeah.
more easily, or allow them to grow and create the environment that makes the natural disaster so much more worse than it could have been. So there's combinations too, is what I'm trying to say. And I think that's a good example, especially fires.
I'm glad you mentioned combinations as we come out of this segment in a minute or two, because these things often go in clusters, it
mm-hmm.
seems. When things are messing up, you know, you've got a natural disaster, you've got a wildfire. Well, kind of have a financial collapse in your little area because
you know,
the ATMs aren't working.
Well, they're burned.
Exactly. And you might have, you know, riots and all of these other things. So there are many common effects. But we thought folks would want to hear some of our thoughts on the events that can kick them off. And we're very serious. Please let us know in the comments.
Yes.
If you have additional events. We didn't even cover World War III,
yeah.
nuclear war, which probably should. Yes, it's a possibility. An exchange of nuclear weapons would obviously be terrible. It would be, you know, it'd be terrorism on a grand scale. Even a conventional war that got really, really nasty could induce these things. If the government is seizing industries for
yes.
the war effort, that would lead to disruption. So we didn't mean to leave World War III out of there. Well, tell you what, we're going to go out and come back and then talk about our list of 10 signs that SHTF is about to happen. 10 things for you to look at. We will see you in a few moments.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
Hey everyone, are you a prepper who knows you need to have handheld radios for when you know what hits the fan, but you don't know anything about them? You don't want to learn complicated geek stuff or learn Morse code or all of that other useless information on a ham radio license test? You don't need another hobby and you don't need to buy things that you ultimately won't use. You just need to know how to use radios and which ones to get. Well, Ham Radio is for you. It's not Ham Radio, it's PAM Radio, Prepper Amateur Radio. PAM, it's all the things preppers need to know to communicate on radios, but none of the stuff you don't need to know. PAM Radio is a series of easy flashcards for your phone or laptop that teach you what kind of radios to buy and how far you can talk on them, with or without a ham radio license in some cases. It's not a prep course for your ham radio tests, it's the practical stuff you need to know. Written by Glenn Tate, with input from members of the Special Operations Community, ham radio experts, and ham radio novices like you, these electronic flashcards will bring you up to speed so you can check radios off of your list of preps you need to take care of. PAM Radio is conveniently releasing in January 2019, so you can fulfill that ongoing New Year's resolution about getting up to speed on radios.
Prepper Press is a small, independent publisher of survival nonfiction and post-apocalyptic fiction. At PrepperPress.com, you'll find a variety of books to guide you on your journey to prepare for a compromise to the electrical grid, natural disasters, economic collapse, political strife, or similar scenarios that could disrupt life as we know it. You'll also discover fictional yet believable stories about what happens to society when everything falls apart. To learn more, visit Prepper Press online at PrepperPress.com.
Do you need a custom Kydex holster or magazine holder? Glenn Tate's favorite custom holster and mag holder maker is Northwest Retention Systems. You can select your holster or mag holder color, including the I Miss America logo, and Northwest Retention Systems will custom make yours. While you're at it, look into the Scout Chest Rig Holster. Glenn loves his for vehicle operations and for fishing. Made by a young craftsman supporting a growing family of young patriots, Northwest Retention Systems products are 100% American-made with no foreign parts. Find out more online at northwestretentionsystems.com. And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Shelby Gallagher, joined by my co-host and partner in life, Glenn Tate. Welcome, Glenn Tate, back, I should say.
Well, thank you for having me. I kind of hope you would.
So one thing we wanted to talk about in terms of common denominators and where we got these lists that we're working through, can you touch on that a little bit, Glenn?
Yeah, I'll hit both those topics. The common denominator between all of these events that could kick off SHTF, we mentioned that, and that's interruption of basic needs. Here's a second common denominator. If you're prepared for EBT riots, you're probably really well prepared for a natural disaster. If you're prepared for financial collapse, you're probably pretty well prepared for terrorism. The point we wanted to make was prepping covers many of the ways to get through all of these different events. The events might be different. The kickoff, that's why we picked the term kickoff in the title of this episode. The kickoff may be different, but how it plays out is relatively the same. So we're going to talk about 10 signs SHTF is about to happen. We would like to thank City Prepper. That's a YouTube channel. Great YouTube channel, by the way. This is where we got these 10 signs. So we always give credit to folks where credit is due. And we'll put a link up on there. It's an 11-minute video. It's really well done. And it doesn't have a lot of fluff in it. It's just a really good...
He just goes through the list, actually, very quickly. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, Shelby, I believe you were covering item number one.
Item number one. People losing it. Well, and we've talked about that already. People losing it. We expect people to lose it when they're EBT riot, or when they're EBT cards, but it's that whole, he makes a really good point, people losing it for no apparent reason.
Right, and we're talking mass of the population. When you see most people in your town going nuts and going to the store and trying to get bottled water, and when you, mass hysteria, I think would be a way of saying it.
Well, actually, he flips that a little bit. That's what I thought was so interesting. He's like, when you see that one or two people losing it for no apparent reason, and I use the example, kind of George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life. He, being in the financial world, is seeing this collapse about to happen. He's running around freaking out, and people are like, George Bailey's losing it. What's going on?
Okay, so I misunderstood, to be honest. It sounds like we're talking about both individual people losing it and then also the masses losing it. People losing it is the sign.
And they're not on drugs or alcohol, right?
Right. That's right.
I mean, that was a joke. But that whole, if I see someone who is very, very normal, if I see the president of my local bank freaking out, I want to know
why. Pay note. Yeah.
Pay attention. We're not talking about your kind of people who just kind of act oddly anyway. Those people who are respected, kind of, yeah, I think that's a good one. I really do, because they know something and I want to know what they know, not because I want to freak out, because I want to know what I need to, because I know what a collapse looks like. If he's free, if my president of my local bank is freaking out, I want to know why, because I'm going to turn right around and
take out as much of your money as you can.
Take out my money and start going into, we're in collapse mode. Yep.
You know, and I'll focus on the other half of this, which is the general population losing it. And I think it's like when there's about to be a big earthquake, your dog goes nuts. It's like your dog can sense things. And we're not talking about the individual. Now, the banker is not the dog in this analogy. But when groups of people can come to the same conclusion at the same time. By the way, don't always count on this. A lot of people might come to the conclusion that the most important thing in the world is a new pair of a particular kind of like basketball shoes. Mass hysteria has its bad side too. But when people get over that, we talked about normalcy bias. When people in episode two, one of the best episodes we did, by the way, when people are as a group by the dozens, hundreds, thousands, millions, whatever it might be in your area, when they are all getting past that fear of, quote, overreacting, and they're saying out loud, yeah, stuff's really bad, and I'm going to the store, and I'm going to get all the water I can. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's sign number one of SHTF is about to happen. Normal people are losing it. That's how it was described in the city prepper thing. Well, number two, his top 10 signs. By the way, we agree with most of these top 10 signs. When we don't, we'll go ahead and mention it. But overall, very good list. Number two sign would be loss of electricity on a regional or national scale for at least a week. I think everyone in this listening audience is saying, well, no duh. I mean, if it's out for a week, that's obviously beyond a tree falling on a power line or something like that. But once again, it's all about the effects it has. It's all about interruption of basic needs. It's people going nuts, going to the store, freaking out, punching people in the face to get a case of drinking water.
Well, and take that to what's interesting, if you can picture this, and he talks about it in the video, is it's one thing to have the electricity down for 1 or 2 days or whatever, and it is very inconvenient. I get that. But when you're talking about a week, you're talking about now there will be loss of life with that. Machines that keep people alive will be down. Generators will run out of their ability to generate. And we're now dependent on regional factors to repair this. And people can't get to their money. And people are now getting cranky because they're cold. Food, if they haven't prepared properly, they're running out of stuff. So after a week is kind of that, things are getting kind of, it's not just inconvenient. We've now hit the... It's now people are dying.
It's an SHTF level problem. I would add communication and isolation to that because if we're looking at regional or national power outages, that means cell towers are down. Obviously, the internet's not working, blah, blah, blah. And that's all bad and everything. But what's worse is how human beings react to it. Again, reacting. The reaction is often rumor mongering. All kinds of crazy stuff. Oh, I heard it was an EMP. Oh, I heard that the Chinese have invaded Los Angeles. I mean, crazy stuff. Or I heard that, this is where it gets really dangerous. I heard that that rich family up on the hill, they have a generator, and my kids will not shut up about their phones not being charged. And I need to go get some energy from up there, and they have it and I don't. And it's the rumor stuff that... That is the problem. But when you see massive outages like that, that would be, as Bill Engvall says, there's your sign.
Yep.
What's sign number three, Shelby?
Media blackout.
What does that mean, Shelby?
And that means the media's not talking about... when you hear blackout, you think just gone. All of a sudden, there's no news.
When I hear blackout, I think of how I used to drink in high school, but keep going.
Okay. Drinking in high school, tisk, tisk.
It's a true thing.
It is a true thing. we're not just talking about suddenly, you know, the major networks and CNN are not on TV suddenly. We're talking about they're purposely blacking out key topics.
Bad news.
Bad news. They don't talk about bad news. And we see this, and you have this great example from Venezuela, which I think is just interesting.
Yeah, so Venezuela a few years ago is going on in the riot phase. Yeah. Now they're just in the slow death phase. But it was huge. I mean, there were thousands of people. They were burning down parts of the city. And I remember, I believe it was on Zero Hedge or Breitbart, they showed what was playing on Venezuelan TV right as all this was happening.
I mean, riots are right outside the window, most likely, of the news station, right? And
exactly.
They're talking about...
There was a cooking show on. Mm-hmm. It was like their version of the Today Show, which I despise, by the way. And so it was a celebrity slash news people. Honestly, I'm not making this up. They were making a flan. Flan's delicious. I have nothing against flan. But it was a cooking show to and see... People hear media blackout and they think, oh, yeah, the government just pulled the plug on the TV stations. First of all, TV is a teeny fraction of where people get their information.
Is, yeah.
But no, it doesn't have to be a government person holding a gun up to the head of that honest, terrific media, unbiased person, right, who just would love to get the news out but can't because that awful government person has a gun up to their head. No, no, no. It's a partnership a lot of times.
Yeah.
The media, especially corporate media that we have in this country, we see this every day. What do you think Twitter is going to do when there is an SHTF situation? Do you think they're going to allow people to send tweets out saying, the government has failed here in Houston and people are starving and stuff's getting crazy? Do you think Twitter's going to allow that?
Let's ask Alex Jones how he feels about that.
Exactly.
Twitter's completely blacklisted him. So, yeah, so I see it being so much more sophisticated here in the United States because media is not just these top, you know...
The three networks
three
when we
networks,
were kids.
CNN
yeah.
and all of that. It's what you're going to see is... Hey, who's wearing what at the Emmys tonight when you have riots going on a block
everywhere?
Or, yeah, you're going to see this sophisticated sort of, look, there's a sparkly thing over here instead of talking about what's... And we've already seen versions of that. I can't even... There were so many of them during the previous presidential administration where something... I would sit there and go, okay, this is a spark... This is not... important news, what's happening, and I would go look to my alternative news sources and find what's really going on, that this was being created, that you could see the diversions being created. And I can also see, we're seeing it now with some of the rustlings that are going on with Facebook. Facebook's under a lot of scrutiny right now for covering up news or squelching it or underwhelmingly not promoting it when somebody pays for a boost or whatever.
Oh, exactly. And so, and I talk about this in the 299 Days books. There were a couple examples. One of my favorite was the New Year's Eve, you know, dropping of the ball in a few months into the collapse and how it was all completely staged and it was very clearly designed to take people's minds off of all the horrible things that were happening that their government was responsible for. And the government basically said to the networks, here's the deal. We're going to have a fake New Year's Eve thing. We're going to make it look like there's a big crowd of people that are gathering in Times Square.
People need this right now. They need to
feel
happy.
Exactly. And so many people in the media, first of all, they have no power because they have no independence. But second of all, people in the media would say, oh, geez, yeah, you know what I do all day long? I run stories, heartwarming human interest stories about a dog that, like, walks 1,000 miles and finds its owner and stuff like that. And so, yeah, we should make people feel better by making it look like everybody's willing to go out in Times Square when in fact nobody is. And that will be the way that it's a blackout of real information. And here's the thing, nobody listening to this, nobody in America who's even aware really thinks the media is unbiased anymore.
Nope.
We all know that it's the mainstream media is working for somebody and it ain't us.
Nope.
And so we won't be surprised. But the point you were making, I thought it was a great point, is that blackout, as I said, doesn't mean some kind of direct coercive shutdown of the media. It'll be in a lot of ways worse than that. I mean, if you think things, you're a citizen and stuff's going bad, let's pick an event. There's been massive hacking.
Yeah.
And nobody, you know, trucks aren't delivering groceries, all the other stuff. and you go and you turn on, for whatever reason, the mainstream media, and there's a black screen or a blue screen, then you really get freaked out. Yeah. And so that would be counterproductive for the government to just shut stuff off. It's going to be that heartwarming story of the dog that travels mm-hmm. 1,000 miles, and it was, oh geez, that's so awesome. So that's the media blackout thing that was mentioned in the city prepping thing. Well, number four, another sign of things about to, you know, SHTF is about to happen, is isolating some part of the population / quarantines. And it doesn't have to be the traditional quarantine. We hear that term and we all think of all the movies about pandemics, and it doesn't have to be that hermetically sealed sort of quarantine. It could be, as it will be, the main highway in and out of a metro area yeah. is closed down. I know for a fact that in Washington State, mm-hmm. the I-90 highway between Eastern and Western Washington will be shut off. I even think I know the points. I know a lot of cool people that know a lot of cool stuff. It's not hard to figure this out. To 3 or 4 Humvees, 10 National Guardsmen, maybe a 50 cal, is all
much.
It takes. Is mm-hmm. all it takes
it
to
take
shut
much.
This.
It really doesn't.
We know for a fact that the military and DHS and many police forces openly talk about, yeah, here's the plan. We're gonna contain people in cities.
We're
we
going
just
to
are.
Shut down these major arteries so that there can be no travel.
Exactly, because when people travel, the government isn't in control of them. They're getting out of a city. They want, and I don't know if it's
they want to prevent the panic.
Prevent the panic. Because they can provide services. Oh, by the way, listeners, I'm about to flip into sarcasm mode, in case you can't tell by my voice.
Okay, get ready. This is gonna be fun.
We provide services because we're the government and we're awesome and we love people and we want to help people. The way we can provide services is for all the people to be in one place. That way, when we roll the Meals on Wheels trucks in and everybody has Doritos and Dr. Pepper. No, but when everyone, yeah, we can just.
We just need everyone to calm down and just
be good little kids, and we can take care of you.
Shelter in place.
Shelter in place. So that's what we're talking about. And when you start seeing that, that's a sign. By the way, a lot of folks are probably saying, oh, these are kind of obvious signs. That's okay. Mm-hmm. The point with this is that these are signs and you're not overreacting.
Nope.
When you see stuff like this.
Yes.
This isn't, oh my goodness, the lights went out, it must be an EMP. Stuff is unfolding. And a quick note about unfolding, I should have mentioned earlier, a lot of these signs of things about to happen, SHTF coming, unfold at varying speeds. Some of them are very, very quick. Some of them, number six is very quick, by the way. Some of them are relatively slow. Number three, media blackout, could be there's like more cooking shows and less hard news, and then 3 days later, it's all cooking shows. So when we say these signs, we don't mean that there's some absolute point at this, but when you start seeing these things happening, and the isolation of the population would be a really good sign. I could see downtown, dense urban places mm-hmm. being effectively shut down because it's so easy to do that.
Yeah.
And then over a period of a few days, few hours maybe, it starts rolling out, suburbs are getting cut off, and all of these other things.
So let me throw this out there too, and going back to the quarantine thing, and I talk about this in my books for this very reason, and you're going to see this as my third book comes out. Think about the city or area that you live in, and if you live in the rural area, you still need to think about this. How do you get out? You and I, we now live in a rural community, but because of that, we only have a few ways in or out of here. So if they get choked, we're quarantined. Go back to my books, Portland, Oregon. For those of you who live in Portland, you need to think about this. There's only two ways to go north, because to go north from Portland, you have to cross a river, and there's only two bridges.
Yep.
How easy it is to, and I talk about this in book one, if the government closes those two bridges over a river, you're not going north. To go west from Portland, there's one highway, 26, if they shut that down. Going east, there's one highway, Highway 84. Going south, Interstate 5. That is, what, six? if they choke all of those off, if those are blocked by, okay, 20 Humvees and maybe 50 men and women or whatever, National Guards, you're done. You're in Portland. Other thing is down the middle of Portland that cuts off downtown, east and west, is the Willamette River. There's only 11 bridges across the Willamette River. If you want to close everybody into downtown, you just close those bridges.
And this is very typical of American cities. They often have rivers running through them because that's why they were formed, because they were trading places. There's beltways. I know in other parts of the country where highways and road travel are actually important, as opposed to Seattle and Portland, where they try to make everyone ride the bus and it's failing, you have beltways. I know St. Louis, for example. Yeah. There's the I want to say the 170 beltway. I want to say the 270 beltway, you know, just to ring around Interstate 70. So you can see that these things can unfold slowly. But when you start seeing it, there's your sign.
When you start seeing so I encourage everyone, and you can tell by what I just thought through, I've thought about how to get in and out of a city. Where you live, do the same thing. Encourage you to do that. Think about how to get out. Think about those secondary, more importantly, those
tertiary.
Those,
one of my favorite words, by the way.
Those logging roads, those paths, those things that, because everyone else is going to use the second and third level, you need to go down further so you can get out a little bit quicker. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So let's see, Shelby, what is the number five sign that SHTF is unfolding?
And there's numbers that go with this, and this is not my forte here, but that's okay. It's stock market. Stock market, we know, and I love his explanation in the video, is that when it hits a certain, what is it, the stock market loses 10% in one day and trading is suspended. And you know what? This is the time of year that that happens, where like there's some major ups and downs. When that happens, and the reason why we know this is because historically, when it hits that 10% in one day and trading is suspended, a collapse happens. And it happened in 2008.
And that yes, that counted because that was a depression. It was not a recession. I like this as an indicator of things going wrong, because it's not just people's fears. When people start selling stocks, that would trigger the 10% loss. Yep. People are betting their own money on getting out. It's not just a, gee, I feel like maybe things are going poorly. It's sell $1 million worth of stuff and I may lose $500,000, but go ahead and do it. And that's when you know stuff's for real. Yeah. And I also think that people, big shots in the stock market, have more information than you and me. Yeah. And I think that they have inside information, not a giant conspiracy. I'm just thinking the people they hang out with, they get a call from somebody, hey, you better do this. Go ahead and sell now because it's going to be worth less tomorrow. And by the way, the New York Stock Exchange, for example, suspending trading, enormous deal. That is not done lightly. Not done lightly. It's only happened a few times. I think that is a terrific sign to look at. You know why that's another reason? I just thought of this. Another reason that's a great sign is that you can tell people around you, did you notice what just happened? I think everybody would understand, and these are the grasshopper folks that maybe you need to persuade. We've talked about that in the past with normalcy bias, maybe in your own family. I think you've got a really solid argument to say, the New York Stock Exchange just suspended trading, so I think it'd be a good time to gas up the car and go to grandma's house out in the country.
Yeah.
I really think that that's not
some flashlights and go.
Not an overreaction.
Well, and let me add this to that, too. If you talk to anyone that was around the 2008 crash, collapse, whatever you want to call it, that was in the stock market, working in that industry, they could see it coming.
Yeah.
So that's why I like actually paying attention. There's a news outlet out there called Zero Hedge. Now, they're a little bit panicky. They always have a little bit of a panic, but they watch those little micro ups and downs and they're all saying it's going to happen again because we're doing the same mistakes, we're repeating the same mistakes that have caused previous collapse. But I'm not a stock market kind of a girl, but I like reading what they write because it helps me to be attuned to that.
I would add to that, as far as other media sources that I like for financial information, Patriot Radio NewsHour, which is put on by the All American Gold Group. Jay Jaquin, Double J, if you're listening, and you probably are, I think you do a magnificent job. Have no affiliation with him.
We don't get any goodies for that, but
he's got some good stuff. Well, I would say number six is an important one. You can't get money out of a bank or their limits on the amount of withdrawals. That's, again, rather obvious, but once again, it's a pretty solid sign. Think of what it takes for a bank to say, hey, we're not going to let people get their own money. Let's just say that's a major customer service issue. Let's say everything restores and everything's nice within 2 hours. You've got a major customer service. So you know stuff got real, because we don't swear on the show because we're on terrestrial radio, and the FCC, you know, is appropriate. They don't like us swearing. And that's, we can make our points without swearing. Yes. So, by the way, it's not just preventing people from withdrawing money, like all of their money. I should back up. It's not just ATMs being turned off. That's one sign. Another sign is what happened in Greece with the Greece, the Greek banking crisis. And that was Cyprus, actually, technically. You can take money out $300 a day or it was about $300 a day. When there are limitations on the amount of money you can take out, that is for reals. There's a Z on the end of reels. That's how real
it is.
That's
how big it is. And I will say this. We in America, we already have limits on funds availability and all that. I would say when it starts tightening, or when there's suddenly longer hold times on funds and things like that, when you start seeing what we already have kind of shrinking up a little bit, I don't think it's going to be all at once. I think it's going to be, well, it could be all at once. Just the ATM doesn't work anymore. I get that. But then it can also be, oh, you can only have $100 a day. And in a month, we're going to implement $50 a day. I think there's going to be a shrinking.
Exactly. Because the banks want to hold on to cash.
Yep.
They don't want you to have cash, because the banks are working with the government. And if the government says, people don't need to be freaking out and hoarding cash, what they need to do is go to the FEMA center, turn in their guns, and get their MRE.
Right. There you go. Oh, my goodness.
And I see that happening too. What is the next one, number 7, Shelby?
Next one is something obvious. And that's kind of this catch-all for natural disasters, something that we in the prepper community already were used to.
Right, and that's an obvious one, but I think true to the idea of here are 10 signs SHTF is about to happen, I think it's fair for city prepping to put on there something that's obvious. So, ahead.
And what comes with that, too, is something obvious. Like when the government says to you, you know what, we have a Category 5 hurricane coming up Florida, get out.
That would be a sign.
That'd be a sign. When you have, hey, there's, don't light fires in the middle of August in California. Don't light a campfire, because that's bad and it can lead to bad things, right?
And I think city prepping, yes, you're right. Those are more kind of the events. City prepping was making the point that when the government says you need to evacuate and there's something obvious like a hurricane, you should heed it. In other words, the sign that stuff's about to get real is the government saying evacuate a city. Now that kind of goes against what we were just saying about how government will clamp down cities. The exception to that rule is if, I don't know, you built a city 5 feet below sea level, and like New Orleans, and there's a Category 5 monster storm coming, then they want people to get out.
Well, and then what happens is, and it kind of goes what you're saying, then what happens is all the roads for a day or so before it comes are choked up of people trying to evacuate. So you need to think about where you live, think about how your exit points and how to get out, and follow those obvious signs you need to get out. So we'll skip over that one. Number
8 is obvious government lies. We have about 2 more minutes, so we're going to blaze through it. Obviously, the key word there is obvious. If you know something, everybody knows something, and the government is telling you that it's not happening, there's your sign. By the way, don't count on the government officials that you voted for
being honest.
It could be that people you voted for are telling obvious lies, and you need to say, okay, instead of debating in my head whether somebody put him up to it because I love this guy and he would never do anything awful, just say, okay, obvious government lies. This is a sign SHTF is about to happen. What is number 9?
Number 9 is key. First responders stop showing up.
Oh, boy. Short version of this story is, we know this to be true. We know tons of first responders. I think the best example of this is a police officer I was talking to who said they've talked about this problem and here's the solution. I think it's ingenious, by the way. Police officer said, when I call for backup and nobody comes, that's my sign. In other words, they don't have some hard figure like, oh, the stock market only went down 9.7%, so I guess it's not an SHTF. No, very, very practical, because what do they need? Backup. And when they don't have backup, that's when it's not working. So it was this: when there's no backup and I wait a while. That kind of varies, half hour or something like that. Then I know stuff has hit the fan, and I'm going home.
Yep.
And first responders going home.
Taking care of their home base and not others.
So, number 10, we're going to leave it with this, martial law. Pretty obvious. When there's martial law, you know stuff is about to hit the fan. Well, we are out of time. Thank you for listening, and please come back for the next episode.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.